Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're live here at the Call of Duty World League Champs. We have Jimmy here from Cheddar Esports.
Hello.
What's up, man?
What's good?
You guys been busy.
Yeah, we've been busy. Last couple of weeks have been super busy.
Yeah, every time I see you, you're either at an event. I saw you at E3.
Yeah, that was
but
fun.
You've been going to a lot of esports events. So this is a season where it's like a lot of finals right now, man.
Yeah, August, like for a couple of months in the winter, you know, it gets sort of dead. But August, September, it starts picking up. We got TwitchCon coming up later, LCS Summer Finals, Barclays Center, ESL 1. So many things happening, man.
Oh, my God.
Busy,
man.
Busy season.
So let's talk about just esports in general.
Sure.
Your thoughts about Fortnite, man, New York City, man, Queens, right?
Queens.
What was the location in Queens?
It was at the Arthur Ashe Stadium in Flushing, Queens. So okay. 10-minute commute for me from my house.
I think that was a game changer.
Yeah. Definitely
completely
was.
not only for the prize, but just the venue and the way it was set up, right?
Yeah, it was set up more like a festival than anything.
Yeah,
and that's something that I think is going to be the move going forward, especially when you're a game that large, right? And you have a world that's as deep and vibrant as Fortnite's is. They had zip line set up, concert set up, themed food set up. They had activations going on throughout the place. There were scavenger hunts. You get like badges and pins, so it's interactive. You're always doing something.
Yeah.
But that's all in addition to the tournament, which in itself was awesome to watch. They set it up really well.
Yeah. So this is your first time at the CW Champs, right?
Yeah, any CW event.
So your thoughts, like, compare this to like other previous events that you've been to.
Yeah, it's interesting. CWL, it's definitely a different crowd of people, right? When you're talking Fortnite, the majority of the crowd is teenagers, preteens, and the handful of teens that are competing and something like that, but mostly skewing towards, I want to say, like 8 to 12, 8 to 13 years old.
Yeah.
Now for CWL, the crowd is definitely very teenager and onwards. You know what I mean? Like 14 to 21, I think, is where CWL thrives. As far as size of the venue, if you're just starting at things that you can see, definitely a smaller venue.
Yeah,
but it's something that I think makes for it feels like grassroots almost, even though it's very much not. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In a way, it is, but it's not grassroots. But it feels good inside the.
We
arena.
Were having a conversation about League of Legends compared to that to like
other games.
And you something that you brought up like, hey, that game been around over a decade, but also Call of Duty been around for a very long time, so what is the difference, you think?
It's like pacing of the game, what it comes down to, you know what I mean? Like, in League of Legends, I think over that course of 35, 40 minutes, there are storylines that can develop within the game. You're following these characters as they grow throughout the game, and their choices add to a larger story, which I think is present in Call of Duty, but you're playing so many different game modes, and each time you load into the game mode, it's almost like a siege, like it's a battle from the start and it doesn't stop because you're respawning every time. You know what I mean? So it's a very fast paced game, and the objectives of which aren't clearly defined by your kills and your deaths. It's something more, but it's fast paced. It's a little hectic and it's not hard to understand, but at the same time, you're playing so many different game modes. I can see why it might get easy to get lost in it and almost get lost in what the story is that you're supposed to be understanding. Whereas Search and Destroy, I think, is a good mode. Like, you die, you get eliminated, you don't respawn. And so it's a little slower, it creates more tension, but even then, the pacing of Black Ops 4 specifically is fast. It's a fast game through and through, and it's 5v5, so that's different from previous Call of Duties. So the extra person, the map size hasn't really changed, so same maps, extra person, it's going to be fast. So it feels like it doesn't have as high of highs as League of Legends does or other games like Counter-Strike or as low of lows as those games do either. It's more of like a more consistent storyline throughout. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
One thing that I noticed is for the past few years, when I started coming to CWL Champs, and previously their other events throughout the season, the venue was allowed bigger.
Right? Yeah.
This one now for the past 2 years is allowed smaller. Mm-hmm. Even League of Legends last year, they went to Miami. I don't know if it was like the finals, I think for the States.
Yeah.
That venue was even smaller than this.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? That a lot of companies now are downsizing the venues. Instead of having it, let's say, like the Staples Center or something yeah. like that big, because a couple of years ago when I went to Orlando, CWL Champs over there, it was at the stadium. It was mm-hmm. not a stadium, it was an arena where the
right.
where the Orlando Magic plays. You know, so what you think about that? That they're downsizing now big time.
I think we've been hearing more and more murmurings of it. There's nothing been confirmed, but that every time that something is thrown at a larger venue, at a larger stadium, they're not necessarily seeing the returns in sales. Whereas I think they are getting ticket sales, but they're maybe hoping for more in merchandising or more returns overall. And I think it's coming down to them realizing where they should be shifting their priorities to. And the live stream aspect of it is massive. There's no way you can underestimate that, yeah, right? Yeah. And so that's more and more they're seeing numbers, I think, come in online in huge ways. And so if they're able to double down on their production value or something else that'll help those numbers, maybe
sense.
That's where the shift of resources is
yeah.
going.
Yeah, every other esports are doing that, right? Like Gears of War,
yeah.
smaller venue. Potentially now with Halo coming up
yeah.
next year. You think it's going
to be? I think that's going to be huge.
You think it's going to be huge?
I think it's going to be huge for multiple reasons. One, nostalgia, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But two, because there's a couple of dots that Microsoft has been lining up over the past couple of years. Like cloud gaming is one of them. It's a smaller dot in the whole mix of things. Yeah. But Ninja moving to Mixer is also a huge part of that, I feel like. Because originally he was a Halo streamer, right? Luminosity back in the day. And if they're able to use his potential now to launch the Halo Master Chief Collection or whatever series that they're planning on launching with a full circuit esports bracket and have the world's most popular streamer double down on that exclusively on their platform, I think they've got a nice ecosystem going
yeah.
and it could be really good.
I can see that. All right, so now with CWL Champs, is there any teams that maybe you already interviewed or
yeah.
you've been watching the stream? We've been watching the game together. But anybody that stood out to you, any teams, any favorites?
You know, I really have an affinity for the United guys just because we've had them on the show a couple of times. And so I almost know them personally. But when we spoke to United a couple of times as well, we spoke to JCap, who moved to Evil Geniuses now. And we spoke to a couple of the Evil Geniuses guys. And they're all cool people. But even more than that, like, it's really the storylines this championship have been bar none. You know what I mean? They're such a good story. Some teams are unsponsored and making it into the semifinals, which is almost unheard of, but here
Very
they are.
Crazy. Yeah.
yeah, they're doing it. And yeah. also, it's interesting to see how sponsorships and things like that have been working out for these teams as well, right? It's kind of a different note, but...
For those that don't know, what do you mean
right,
by
so
that?
So if you're looking at like a team like Team Heretics, right? Mm-hmm. Recently, not that recently, but in the past couple of months, they got sponsored by Adidas, which is a huge deal.
That is huge.
Right? Like, yeah. you don't ever see Adidas, Nike sponsoring individual teams. You saw Nike go to China, picking up Uzi and the League of Legends Pro circuit there. But they have yet to really double down on an American team, an American franchise. And Team Heretics isn't American, but Adidas steps into the ring. And it's like, I wonder what's happening there. Nike went to Brazil to pick up Team Furia from Counter-Strike. And it's like, it's interesting. I think
it's
interesting
changing.
Is the best word.
I think the industry, esports, from the esports side, like, is changing a lot.
Yeah.
Because I remember the days when I used to go to the MLG,
mm-hmm.
when it was like Halo, they had Smash there too. It was different back then, man.
Yeah.
Totally different. And now it's completely different now with like Adidas sponsoring. That's
right,
crazy.
Like,
that's insane.
Adidas sponsorships, and now you're seeing Envy players, Jack in the Box, like Fast Foods trying to get into it, Mercedes Benz, and like Cloud9 is sponsored by BMW. Like,
now from the business side,
yeah,
now that you see all these companies that would like to get involved sponsoring a team, maybe sponsoring an event, why we don't see more of that? Because there's a huge audience watching online. Maybe, I don't know how it is online versus TV, but
yeah.
they're watching.
Yeah.
Why companies are not sponsoring, like, let's say here at an event instead of just like, you know, PlayStation 4.
Right.
The usual.
I think it's going to, we're going to see more and more of it. I think a lot of potential sponsors, non-endemic potential sponsors, are struggling to find a way to get into the space in a way that feels organic. You know what I mean? In a way that feels natural to the people who are already in the space and not forced. A great way, I think, to do that is to follow someone like State Farm's lead, right? In League of Legends, they just became one of the biggest brand partners for League of Legends over the past couple of years, and now State Farm's a household name within the League of Legends franchise. And that goes for like Rocket Mortgage and things like that, but they didn't necessarily do it in the most organic ways, but they were able to do it and cross that gap of it being inorganic, and now fans are just accepting of it that this is what's happening. And I think that is where a lot of companies are struggling, but I still don't know, you know what I mean? I have the same question, like, why aren't there more people sponsoring the CWL right now and moving into franchising going forward? Mm-hmm. What does that mean for the future of it, you know?
Yeah, because when you mention about a team that here with no sponsors,
right?
That's crazy.
They're able to make it here with no sponsors. Yeah, that's obviously due to the fact that there's the play-in, so open teams can get in through their raw skill without a sponsor, and that's nice, and that's something we see in like the fighting game community. It's more grassroots. It gives people those opportunities to have the Cinderella stories, but it's insane to me that some of them still go unnoticed and still find so much success, but still aren't being picked up.
One thing before we wrap it up, one thing that we were talking about too earlier was, we were watching the stream and you said, wow, when ever since Optic Gaming stopped playing,
yeah,
their last match,
it's crazy,
the viewers dropped. I've been following them for a while now, for a couple of years. They have a crazy huge following, dude. Like, I feel like, to me, out of all the teams that I've seen,
yeah,
from CWL, they engage a lot with their fans. It's so much that I even noticed looking down,
yeah,
when they were playing, there was like a whole squad of people all supporting them. They were wearing their jerseys with signs and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they were done,
gone.
They left.
Gone. It's insane. And it's like, of course, Optic comes from an era of Call of Duty where, you know, trickshotting, and they made the name for themselves. Yeah. But like, even FaZe Clan, like, they were a huge name back in the day, and there's a massive name now. But they did not find the massive success in creating that community that Optic did. And, of course, due in part to Optic's 33 titles to their name, that blows my mind, man. It was a 60,000 viewer difference from when Optic was playing to when they weren't.
That's crazy.
111?
And that, remember, too,
right,
let's be fair, that's day one. So usually
literally,
day one
yeah.
numbers are not as right. high compared to like the last day.
Of course.
You know, but I'm curious to see what's going to happen once, if they continue playing and they go to either to the finals or they don't go to the finals. I just want to see the difference.
How is it going
to
affect it? Yeah, we'll see Saturday what it's like. And of course, we'll be, you know, watching the matches live Sunday too. If Optic's able to make it to the grand finals, like, that is a story I want
to
see.
Who would you like to see in the finals? But if you pick two teams, you would like
two
to see.
Teams, if
two
I
teams.
Could.
Yeah.
It's hard. I want Optic too, because there's rumors that this may be the last time we ever see Optic in this form ever compete. So I want to see Optic there.
Rumor, okay.
Rumor.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, it's rumored because they may be...
They might be changing the...
Right, exactly.
The team. Okay.
And I want to see Evil Geniuses play, and I want to see them do well, because they also announced that they wouldn't be continuing in the franchised model. So that is going to be the last time that we see the Evil Geniuses franchise compete.
Yeah, you were mentioning that earlier too. Like, there's going to be a lot of changes next year.
Lots of changes for franchising. So lots
what
of changes.
Was what was the thing to you that stood out the most for you about all those changes?
The fact that there are so many teams with established fan bases, namely, you look at Optic, you look at Evil Geniuses, you look at FaZe Clan. How are you going to assign these to cities when a lot of them have city followings, but they're not going to be able to purchase that slot? Like, sometimes, like, is Optic going to be able to purchase the Texas slot, the Houston slot, which is where the Houston Outlaws, which are, you know, affiliated with the Optic now, is that what's going to happen? Who knows? Who's going to New York City? Call of Duty New York City, that franchise, has announced that they are going to be a franchise.
But
who?
Did it work for the Overwatch League?
it worked for the Overwatch League, I want to say, because they started that way. You know what I mean?
It wasn't like this, that...
Right. Like, yeah. And the Overwatch League itself, it did take some time to develop, right? Since the game's launch, it took maybe a year and a half for the Overwatch League to get announced, to get into the works. And even then, there was some contention in the community because you already have these teams, already have these storylines. And now the community's kind of simmered down and they kind of realize it's a good idea to have this franchising model in. And it's helped a lot of people get into Overwatch that previously wouldn't have. So I think franchising is good for that reason. Like, people will cheer for New York in a New York versus Boston game all day long, no matter what the sport is.
Yeah.
But the Call of Duty community themselves are very different people.
It's a different crowd.
It's a different crowd.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if they'll respond the same way, but it can work. And it's the next couple of months are going to be very interesting to see if it will work.
I just remember now. I know you have to leave.
No, it's okay.
Well, we were talking about NBA 2K.
Yeah.
They also franchise, right?
Yeah.
With cities. And it's not working out for them.
It's not working out for them, but it's also hesitation from NBA's part, really, to create a stronger affiliation between the actual NBA and the game itself. You want to see, as a spectator, you want to see more of that crossover from the real NBA to the 2K League to almost get rid of the illusion of that it's a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's still competition at the end of the day, so it's good to watch. But as an NBA fan and a 2K League fan, you want to see that crossover. And we don't see enough of it. And I don't know if it's hesitation on the NBA's part or 2K League's part, but not even all the franchises from the NBA have teams in the 2K League, which to me is almost, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Great conversation. I know we were talking about this for hours.
All day, man. All day.
All day. It's cool, man. No, it was good seeing you, man. Anything you would like to say about any updates coming up? People could be on the lookout?
Man.
Oh, by the way, we got destroyed playing Modern Warfare 2v2.
Yeah,
we did.
It was good, though.
Gunfight,
yeah.
Yeah.
Modern Warfare is really dope. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I was a little mixed on it when I first saw trailers of it.
See, this is my first time actually seeing it. So
I think it's a good way to hop into the game.
Yeah.
What did you think? Did you have fun?
It was good. I had to get used to it. It's been a while. I found it a little slow. I don't know if it's because of the graphics, the engine, or what. I don't know what it was, but it was a little bit slow compared to the previous Call of Duty games. But once I got used to it after a few minutes, I was fine.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't even thinking about that. But just starting at first, super slow.
It's interesting. Yeah, I think that's going to be more of what we see moving forward with Modern Warfare. I think it's going to be a slower game overall. But we'll see.
Do you see a 2v2 in esports for CW? Or is it going to CWL? Or
no,
they're going to keep it?
I think it's going to be... I think, actually, they'll probably go back to either 4v4. Because previously, prior to Black Ops 4, it was 4v4 all the time.
Yeah.
Now it's 5v5. Which I think creates that faster feeling as well. But I don't know what they're going to do. I don't see a 2v2 mode going competitive or being in the CWL or CDL, as it's going to be called now. But I definitely think there will be a ranked mode for like 2v2s in the game itself. So that'll be fun.
I can see that. I can see that.
People have fun with that for sure.
All right. Well, I just want to say thanks, man.
Yeah, man.
And make sure to check out Cheddar Esports.
Cheddar Esports.
Monday through Friday,
5
p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, man.
You can check them out on Twitch.
Twitch, Hulu, Sling, Amazon Prime.
Samsung TV.
Samsung
app,
TV.
Whatever.
Yo, whatever you want.
Everywhere.
Except Netflix.
Except Netflix. There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks a lot, man.
Of course, man.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.